Welcome to this Martin Bailey Photography Podcast, episode 32. Today I'm going to describe what types of camera supports I use, give you just a few examples of images shot with each, and a few tips on what to look for when buying a tripod, monopod, or other type of camera support. Today's topic was originally suggested by Dom Leary, username Scrubs, from Surrey, England. Dom has been a member of the forum for a while now and contributes quite a lot to the board, so thanks Dom for both the suggestion for today's topic and for your continued contributions to the forum. As of April 2006, I used two tripods and a monopod, selecting from them as necessary based on the intended use. I took all three to Hokkaido with me in February this year and used them all. So firstly, the tripod that I've owned the longest, around 4 years now I think, is comprised of a set of Manfrotto 444 Carbon 1 legs, and at the end of 2005 I bought the Acrotex the Ultimate Ball Head for this tripod. The Ultimate Ball Head is a great piece of equipment and it fits perfectly onto my Manfrotto 444. Unlike my previous ball head that was greased and required a lot of pressure to be applied to fix the camera in any particular position, and even sometimes then the camera would still move. The Ultimate Ball Head is not greased, the ball itself is dry, and it really needs very little pressure to stop it dead. When you order from Acrotech's website, I'll put links to all of the websites for the equipment that I'll talk about today in the notes, by the way. When you order from Acrotech's website, you can choose from a number of options, such as optimizing the ball head for left-hand use. And also you can choose rubber knobs, as I did, which makes tightening and untightening much easier. I also chose the option to not put a quick release shoe on the ball head, as I wanted to standardize all my camera supports with the same Wimberly QR or quick release clamp, C10, that's the product number. This QR clamp has a groove down the middle into which the screws that protrude from the plate that fits on your camera or lenses slides. So it basically stops the lens from sliding out if for some reason you don't have the quick shoe fully tight. I now have a plate permanently screwed to both my 5D and 20D camera bodies, as I sometimes use them both together. And I also have a plate on all of my lenses that have a tripod mount, namely the 600mm f4, the 100-400mm f4.5-5.6, and my 100mm macro lens. I find it important to be able to use both cameras and all of my lenses on any of these supports, as the plates that you fit onto the lens mounts or the camera itself are not quick release. They screw into the tripod and in some cases have secondary locking nuts. So taking them off and switching them around in the field is impractical. So basically this tripod and both my second tripod and the monopod that I'll talk about a little later are fitted with QR clamps from Wimberly. So basically so that I don't have to waste time changing them in the field instead of shooting. So why did I go for the Manfrotto 444 Carbon 1 legs? Firstly, I wanted to get carbon fiber for its lightness, as I was going to attach this tripod to the side of my already too heavy camera bag and often walk for long distances and sometimes trekking up mountains and things. So I wanted something relatively light, but it couldn't be too light, as we don't want it blowing over in just the slightest breeze with your precious camera equipment sitting on the top. So this particular model weighs in at 3.5 pounds or 1.6 kilograms and will support up to 11 pounds or 5 kilograms of camera equipment quite happily. It was important to check this as the tripod needs to support a large DSLR with battery grip and flash on occasion. Basically, the message is here that don't go for something too flimsy. Small and light is nice for carrying around, but only really suitable if your main camera is a compact digital. Even then, I wouldn't go for very light, as you're not going to be too happy if the wind takes it. The second reason I chose this particular model, the 444 Carbon 1 that is because it has four leg sections, which means it is compact when all of the legs are contracted. The closed length without head is 19.2 inches or 48 centimeters. When I have a head on this, it's just under the maximum length that you can carry onto an airplane. I don't like checking any photographic equipment when traveling abroad, so making sure that I can carry it on a plane was quite important. Another consideration was the maximum height. I like a tripod to get the eyepiece to the of the camera up to your eye, without having to extend the center pole, that is. Extending the center pole is okay in emergencies, but you don't want to put yourself in a position of always having to use it, as it will definitely reduce the effectiveness, that is, the ability of your tripod to steady your camera greatly. At 48 inches or 1.2 meters, then adding the height of the ball head and then the camera itself, this tripod gets the eyepiece right up to my eye level. You also don't want to be crouching or stooping unless you are doing macro work or other kind of photography where the subject is low to the ground. For normal landscape work, you want to be able to stand without stooping and looking through the finder itself. This is just a comfort thing, really, to stop you from getting backache unnecessarily. Now, if you do any amount of macro work or shooting from low angles for any other reason, the minimum height that you can shoot from is also important. I chose this tripod for low angle shooting for two reasons. Firstly, the legs can be widened to three different angles. If you don't do anything, the legs stop at pretty much the same angle as most tripods, in this case around 25 degrees. Then, using the quick action leg angle selector buttons at the top of the legs, you can also allow the legs to open more widely to 45 and then even wider to 65 degrees. This allows you to get lower to the ground with the camera still attached to the top of the tripod. Once you get past a certain angle, though, or height, the center pole will hit the floor. So there's a special low-angle adapter that screws into the bottom of the center pole, which you unscrew and then take the center pole out and then drop the low-angle adapter into the hole where the center pole was. This allows you to get the tripod way down low because the pole is no longer sticking out of the bottom to stop you. You then remount your tripod or your tripod head onto the low-angle adapter and drop your camera straight onto that as usual. Today I'm not going to talk about many photos, as this is going to be more of an equipment-based podcast, but one that I do want to look at is shot number 955 of a tiny blue flower called a common field speedwell. If you know this flower, you'll know that it grows on a bed of leaves and stalks right down at ground level. To make this image, actually looking up at the flower head slightly, I had my camera down with the flash shoe. The camera was upside down and the flash shoe was about 2 centimeters from the ground. To keep my camera stable, I was using the Manfrotto 444 Carbon 1 tripod with the legs open at about at the 45 degrees, the center setting, and the center pole inserted upside down into the camera, into the tripod, so that the camera hung down upside down below the tripod. The ability to do this was another consideration when I bought this particular tripod, And if you're into macro or low angle photography, I suggest keeping this in mind too when deciding what to buy. This particular image was shot with the 100mm f2.8 macro lens with the 25mm extension tube at f4 for 1/160th of a second at ISO 200. Remember that if you don't already know how to look at the images, you should be able to see it in iTunes with the first one that you're able to see on your iPod 2. You can also go to my website, enter the number 955 that I just gave you into the little field in the podcast section on the top page or the podcasts page itself, and then click the little orange button. Or you can also now listen to all of these shows by streaming them from the little streaming button on the podcast page as well, next to each episode. If you use that method, you'll not have to do anything because the photograph will be changed for you, pretty much like in iTunes. Once the photo is viewable there, once it's changed, if you click on the photo, it will be opened at full size in my gallery. So one last thing that I kept in mind when buying this tripod was the quick action leg lever locks that secure the leg extensions firmly in place. This means that I can undo the lever, extend the leg, and then lock it back in place pretty quickly. I'd say that the feeling of how easily the legs extend or contract is going to be pretty much down to personal preference though, so I'd definitely try to get to a camera store and actually handle the tripod before buying. The second tripod I use, which comprises of a Jitso 1348 Mark II set of legs and a Wimberly head, also has four leg sections for shorter minimum length of 24 inches or 60 centimeters this time. And with this tripod, leg sections are locked into place by rotating rubber grips on the leg sections themselves. This takes maybe a fraction longer than the quick action leg lever of the Manfrotto, but there's probably not a lot in it once you're used to it. I'm probably just not yet used to using the Jitso quite as much. The main considerations for this tripod were that I wanted something that would steadily support the weight of my 600mm f4 lens with camera and battery grip. This tripod, weighing in at 4.75 pounds or 2.2 kilograms, will support up to 26.5 pounds or 12 kilograms of equipment. Although the Manfrotto will hold the weight of my 600mm lens and camera too, I wanted to use this tripod with the Wimberly head, and as changing the head in the field is not practical because they sometimes lock up on you, I decided to buy another tripod especially for this combination. Another reason that I wanted this particular tripod is because it extends much higher than my Manfrotto. So if the legs sink in snow, I'd still be okay. That was one consideration. And also, this tripod actually extends around maybe a good 2 feet or so higher than my own eye level. And so another advantage of this is, say if I wanted to use the 600mm to shoot at a falconry display or something like that, there's going to be a crowd, and it's not possible to set up a tripod at the front row of in front of the crowd. The only option would be to stand at the back of the crowd. So if I take some small steps with me, I can then set up the tripod at the back of the crowd very high. And then I think the maximum height, 65.75 inches or 165 centimeters. And then another 20 centimeters or so for the head itself. And then I can stand on the steps and shoot away from over the head of the crowd itself. This is something to bear in mind if you intend to shoot from a tripod at sports venues or other similar locations. The Jitso tripod's center pole also can be removed and replaced with a different adapter for low-angle shooting as with my Manfrotto tripod. But I really don't use that. As I say, I keep the Wimberly head on there permanently and use it more for the long telephoto, super telephoto photography. I found an interesting article, actually, while researching for today's episode. And it seems that in 1992, a company called Vitec Group PLC of the UK bought Jitso. And this is the same company that owns Manfrotto. So, you know, that, well, basically they said that on the website that they are committed to keeping both brands separate. And I just thought it was funny that I chose two different tripods for different needs, and the money for both ended up going into the same company's pocket. Anyway, one other consideration, as making sure that the tripod is level when using the Wimberly head is important, is that this particular model incorporates a spirit level. This helps to get the tripod perfectly level so that when I pan, I don't find myself with a crooked horizon at any point. The reason I chose the Wimberly head was partly through seeing it in action in one of Michael Reichman's The Luminous Landscape video journals. For a long super telephoto lens, the Wimberly head really does come into its own. As you can achieve perfect balance of your lens and camera, you can literally undo all of the locking nuts on the head and swing it around with almost the same amount of freedom as you'd get when hand-holding, but obviously without having to support all of the weight. Once again, I'll put a link to the Wimberly head website and Michael Reichman's The Luminous Landscape video journal in the show notes. So, by way of introducing just one last image, I made using the Wimberly head on the Jitso 1348 Mark II legs during a trip to Hokkaido in February this year. Let's take a quick look at shot number 872. I first spoke about this shot and the Wimberly head in episode 26 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast, but I really like the sharpness of this shot, and one of the reasons for that sharpness is the excellent design of the Wimberly head and the ability it gives you to track subjects like eagles as they move across the sky. This was shot with the 600mm f4 lens at 800th of a second, ISO 400 at f11. Finally, although not very often, I use a Manfrotto 3245 monopod. As I mentioned earlier, this is also fitted with a Wimberly QR or quick release clamp to allow me to fit my lens or any of my lenses to this monopod without having to change the plate on the equipment, that is. I don't have a ball head or anything on this monopod, as I can loosen the screw on the tripod mounts on the lenses and turn the camera, the lens with the camera on it inside the mount to the vertical or portrait position. This does make it difficult to shoot things very high up in the sky, but I don't find myself needing to do that very often. Not with a monopod, at least. Monopods are great for sports photography and actually provide more stability than you might think. I used mine to good effect during the Hokkaido trip in February from the deck of a fishing boat when shooting eagles. Let's take a look at image number 909 to see the results. This was one of the first images I'd made after switching to the 600mm f4 on the Manfrotto monopod from hand-holding the 100 to 400mm lens. It was shot at f5.6 for 1/640th of a second at ISO 400. I hope you can appreciate how sharp this image is. Using a tripod on a rocking boat is obviously not an option. The horizons would be all over the place, but you know, I hope that you can see from this image at least that you know you can get sharp images with a monopod, and you know, just hope you can appreciate that a monopod is a viable option when circumstances dictate. For studio work, carrying the tripod around is not an issue, unless you're a mobile studio, that is. So there are other options, such as very heavy tripods, and they're often made from steel or other heavy metals as opposed to carbon fiber, and because of that they're not quite as expensive. I haven't provided a review of all of the options available here, and basically because I don't have any experience with other products, and I don't think it would be fair to compare them with what I do use and know. Anything like that would basically just be speculation. There are lots of other makers of excellent quality tripods in addition to Manfrotto and Jitso, so please do take a look at all of your options if you're in the market for a tripod. Hopefully sharing what I considered during my search for the camera supports that I use today, though, will help you to figure out what you might be looking for if you haven't really considered that yet. Other options apart from tripods and monopods that I can think of include bean bags that can be dropped onto a wall or just about any surface, and then you rest your camera lens or body or both on the bean bag for stability. You can use your camera bag in a similar way if you have a hard camera bag or a soft camera bag. Either would be okay if you want to lay down on the ground and just sort of rest your camera across the top. The catalogs that I got from the photo imaging expo that I reported to you a couple of weeks ago, a quick look through there showed a number of other options, such as clamps that has just a standard tripod head, and then they clamp onto a shelf or a platform. There's also some that can be clamped onto your car window, and I'm not sure that I'd like to support a 600mm f/4 lens on my car window, but there are a lot of various options. I also saw, I think, one that clamps onto the car door with the window down. So I'd imagine that this would be a relatively good method of supporting your camera, especially if you were out birding or something like that and just shooting directly from the car. Obviously, the various support systems are going to support different amounts of weight. So you need to keep in mind the amount of weight of your camera, the longest lens you're likely to use the support with, and the weight of your camera and any battery pack or anything that you put on there. There are some very small compact tripods. I personally would not use any of these for my photography, but I can imagine that if you found one that will support the weight of your camera and your longest lens, they may have some limited applications. As I say, check out what's available and make up your own mind. At least now you'll have my own considerations and opinions, and will hopefully think of a few things that you were not initially thinking of, or maybe you didn't think were important to you. So that's it for today's main topic. I have a quick update on the photography assignment we kicked off last week. Firstly, I decided to change the voting system. I was going to turn on the rating system in the gallery at the end of April when we stopped taking entries for the assignment, but this system allows members to vote multiple times for lots of different photographs, and would also allow zero voting to lower the average score of other images or other members' images, so it wouldn't be fair. I've now implemented a system where a vote button will appear above the images when viewed in the assignment gallery. On clicking the button, your vote will be counted, and you will not then be able to vote for a second image for that assignment. I have, though, made it possible to change your mind. So if you view the gallery when you're trying to decide which picture you like, and you think you found it, click on the vote and then throw your vote into that one particular image. But then as you further look through the gallery, or you look through again, you decide that you want to change your vote. You will be able to change your vote by just clicking the button again and then it will tell you that you've already voted and ask you if you want to change your vote to the current image. When you do that, if you say yes, then the vote will be removed from the previous image that you voted for. Also, a good point about the rules of the assignment was raised again by Dom, the member that suggested today's topic. I'd not mentioned what limits for reworking images in Photoshop or any other editing tool were. I've added a bunch of guidelines to the rules section on the top page of the mbpgalleries.com site where we'll be running the assignment. So if you're thinking of entering, please take a look at that. So as we'll be stopping taking any more entries on the last day of April, there are currently, as of today, there are just under 3 more weeks to shoot for your image to enter for the assignment. Remember that the theme is contrasting colours, and for full details, listen to last week's episode, episode 31, if you haven't already. I look forward to seeing what you make of this assignment. It's really quite exciting. So keep all of the assignment in mind as you shoot, and hopefully we'll see some interesting entries. Even if you're not thinking of entering, have a great week. Bye-bye.